You guys know that we don't go very long on Wednesday night. It's midweek, and we want to get you home in a timely manner, but we'll take a good 10, 15 minutes here and resume where we were last week. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James son of Alphaeus, Labeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Last week we began looking at this list of 12 disciples. Each one of them has a story, but we know more about Simon Peter probably than all the others combined, okay? And so we're going to spend the remainder of this study looking at Simon Peter, and then I'm sure we'll be able to cover most all of the other ones within a lesson or two. But there's a reason that Peter was more well-known, if you will, and more information about him that as we saw last week, he was the most active of the disciples. He was the most impulsive, the most vocal. He was the boldest of all of those that followed the Lord Jesus. And because of that, essentially there was more. God chose, His Holy Spirit chose to document more and to record more of the doings of Peter than any other of the disciples. And essentially, to a great extent, Peter had become in the inner circle, if not the right-hand man of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not that Jesus needs a right-hand man, but he was as close to Jesus as anybody else. James and John, of course, were a part of that inner circle as well. But it seems that Peter, he wasn't any better than the others. Of course, we know that. He had not been given an elevated position of any kind. But because he made himself available more than anybody else, and he seemed to have a greater degree of dedication, if you will, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that for that reason he stands out, if you will, and comes to the front. But there are some other characteristics of Peter that are worth noting tonight, and that kind of explain why he came to the front, why he kind of gravitated to the front of the pack. First of all, Peter was hungry. He was hungry to learn. He was continually asking questions. He wanted to know more. He wanted to know the who, what, when, where, why. And I'm sure the other disciples were inquisitive themselves, but they seemed to be silent or asked their questions amongst themselves. And Peter, of course, Peter didn't have any problem spouting off what was on his mind. And so he wasn't afraid to open his mouth, which he often did and often got in trouble doing so. But he would blurt out his questions, okay? And sometimes those questions were foolish, immature, maybe even selfish, but they still spoke of his eagerness to know more. He wanted to know more about the kingdom. He wanted to know more about Jesus. And so it's when we're inquisitive and we're eager to learn that we gain more knowledge and we grow. And so Peter did that. And so that's part of why he was who he was. Secondly, Peter showed a great amount of initiative. Just as he was the first to ask questions, he was also the first one to speak up, or the first one to take action. When Jesus asked his disciples the question, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter's the one that spoke up, and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, he's always the one that was ready to say something or take action. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that when the soldiers and the high priest and all came to the garden and they were going to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter's the one that whipped out his sword. He took action, drew that sword, and sliced the ear off of the high priest's servant just impulsively, okay? And so even though his words and his actions were many times misguided, We see that, but they also demonstrated his desire to do something. And he wanted to serve, he wanted to be involved, and when it comes to serving, really and truly for all of us, initiative is necessary, okay? A lot of people do things because they're asked to do things or because they're told they should do things, okay? But when we take our own initiative and we just want to be servants, we'll start doing things without being asked. And sometimes we'll be like Peter. Sometimes they'll be wrong, okay? Sometimes we'll miss the mark, but we'll get something done because we're doing something, okay? And it seems that Peter made opportunities, if you will, and because of that, that moved him to the front in a way of being a leader, okay? The third thing I want you to note is that Peter was committed. When Jesus' followers began to kind of drift away, they began to see the cost of discipleship, they began to see in his teaching that there were some hard things and some things that were going to make demands upon their life. And so the crowd, which was multitudes, began to drift away. This is a little too stout for them. They weren't going to stay hooked. And Jesus asked the question to his disciples. He said, "Will you go away also?" Who spoke up? Peter did, and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter says, I don't know where we'd go. And you know, you got to commend him for that. And Peter was not in it. He wasn't looking for excuses to not serve. He wasn't in it till the next good deal came along. He wasn't looking for an out. He was committed to Jesus, and because he knew who Jesus was, he knew what Jesus had to offer, of course, eternal life. And so Peter was committed. And these things that we've mentioned here just helped Peter, again, move to the front of the pack. He possessed things that made him stand out. But there are other things that we're going to note here now that Peter was going to have to overcome if he was going to be an effective leader. Things that how effective he was as a leader was going to be very dependent upon how he approached his weaknesses, the things that would cause him failure, cause him to be held back. He had some good ingredients, but he also had a great deal of growing up to do, okay? And so one of those things is Peter needed to learn submission. Well, first of all, multiple times he argued with Jesus, which is not a good idea, okay? And you won't win that argument, okay? And so that showed, to an extent, his inability to submit to authority. But there's no question, if Peter was alive today, his political persuasion would be that of a conservative, okay? We know that. So he would line up with our line of thinking, by and large, okay? So back in Matthew chapter, or over rather, in Matthew 17, you don't have to turn there, but you'll remember the story when the tax collector came along and he began to quiz Peter about Jesus, whether he's going to pay his taxes or not. You remember the story. And essentially he was, if you kind of read into it a little bit, he was really not demanding, but basically dunning Peter and Jesus for their taxes there in the local Capernaum region, because that's where Peter lived, okay? And I'm sure, as a good conservative, in his headstrong, vocal way, he probably had some very strong words to say about the tax policies of the day, okay? I'm sure he wasn't happy. However, Jesus gave him a good lesson in submission. Jesus sent him out to the Sea of Galilee, if you'll remember. He says, "Go cast a line into the sea, and the first fish that you take, there will be the money for the taxes there." And of course, Peter obeyed, and sure enough, caught the fish and the money, the piece of money that was enough to pay taxes for the two of them, the scripture says. And so he paid his taxes. Again, lesson learned. He had to learn to submit to authority. The authority of Jesus, of course, but also the authority of the powers that be, the government. He had to pay his taxes. And he also learned that when being obedient and submissive to authority, that God provides. And so who'd have thought you'd get your tax money out of a fish's mouth? But when Jesus is calling shots, those things can happen, okay? So God wants us to yield and to submit to authority, and then when it becomes difficult, to trust Him, and He'll provide, okay? And, okay, secondly, he had to learn submission. He also had to learn restraint. We mentioned earlier the occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter drew his sword and whacked off Malchus's ear. But what I didn't tell you is what Jesus had to say at that moment. Let me read to you. It comes out of John chapter 18. It says, "Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" In other words, Peter, let the things of God happen and trust. Don't he was teaching Peter, you're going to have to restrain yourself. You can't fix everything. You can't violently react to these situations, okay? I'm in control. This is part of the plan. This is part of the will of God. And so Peter needed to learn to let God handle things. And so he needed to learn restraint. Thirdly, he needed to learn humility. Peter very boldly and arrogantly declared that he would never fall away from Jesus, that he would never deny Jesus. And of course, we know that within a few short hours, he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Peter learned the hard way that pride will make you say a lot of things that that real life might cause you to have to change your mind, okay? And real life will humble you many times. And he got humbled, and we know, of course, that later on he learned what true humility was. Fourth, Peter had to learn to love. When Peter was walking with Jesus in his early years, there was a great deal of abrasiveness about it. We see it as we read through the Gospels, abrasiveness and hardness, if you will, towards others. And I'm sure the years of being a rugged fisherman had made him that way, had cultivated that in him. We men know that we have that built into us a lot of times. But if he was going to become a fisher of men, as Jesus said he would, he was going to have to soften up. He's going to have to learn to love. He's going to have to learn to be less abrasive and have a heart towards other. And really and truly, ministry without that kind of love is not true ministry at all. You'll remember in John chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter three times. He says, "Lovest thou me?" Of course, Peter said, "Yes." Ask him again. Peter said, "Yes." Ask him a third time. He said, "Of course, you know, I love you, okay?" And then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Amen. If you truly love me, then you're going to love others as well. And what's implied there is if you truly have a love for me, then you will meet the spiritual needs of people with that kind of love. And, of course, Peter had to learn from there to love people. And, of course, he did learn because later, in the epistle that's named after him, 1 Peter 4:8, he says, "Above all things, have fervent charity." We know that means love, okay? So let me say it again. "Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins." See, that's after Peter had grown and matured and learned what it is to love people that he was able to write those things. Last of all, and I'll get you guys out of here, Peter had to learn about spiritual courage. We know that Peter was a courageous man from a physical, worldly standpoint. He was a man's man, okay? And that's a good thing, okay? No problem with that. But we know that also on the night that Jesus was arrested, that he denied Jesus three times. Which revealed that he had a lack of spiritual courage. He had a lack of spiritual backbone, if you will. That his spiritual backbone was no match to his physical, worldly backbone. And so that spiritual courage was something that would have to be developed. And it was. After the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and left the Holy Spirit to comfort and to teach and to enable the disciples, then Peter began to develop and grow in such a way that he got a spiritual backbone or a spiritual courage, if you want. In fact, his spiritual courage became his strong point. In Acts chapter 4, when he was brought before the high priest and the Sanhedrin for preaching the gospel and for healing people, he stood with great confidence and in the Lord, and he said boldly, he declared this, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." See, that's the spiritual courage that he now possessed that he was lacking in his early years, okay? And so again, there are a lot of reasons why Peter is the second most mentioned name in the whole New Testament, second only to Jesus. And really, it's because he was the most active, he was the most zealous and committed. And again, in spite of his failures, a lot of that zeal resulted in being corrected and rebuked by Jesus because he did the wrong thing. Sometimes it was misguided. But he didn't always do things right, but he was always doing things. And that's not a bad thing. And so there's something to be said for our eagerness to serve, okay? And so that's Peter. We'll take a look at the next time we're here, we'll probably look at James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and kind of see what we can glean from their lives as well, okay? Appreciate you guys very much. Had a pencil, there it is. Okay, here we go, let's stand. Appreciate those that have been running the Meals on Wheels this week. Bam, you've been getting along good, by and large. Was it a little slow go, or?
She did all right.
Well, I think Isaac and Teresa.